5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce, as always, joined by Rob and Chris, and we are officially on the road to WrestleMania. I know, like, we say that a lot when it comes to this time, but the Royal Rumble has actually ended, which is technically the start. So we're maybe like 0.2 miles of the way there. Lindsey Buckingham is singing Holiday Road. It's going to be a fun time. You might be wondering, man, where the fuck have you guys been? It's been a while since I heard your voice. Well, something happened and it kept me away from doing really anything for a good 4 or 5 months. I wish it was maybe 2 or 3 weeks longer, but I can't be mad that I had something to look forward to in the fall. I assume you agree, Rob.
I do agree. Yeah. You know, we would record on Sundays and, you know, the Bears would be taking up a lot of our Sundays. And also, you know, as far as the old stuff goes, you can't really watch it anywhere anyway. So
had
to kind of rethink things. And yeah, we're back at least for the road to WrestleMania to talk about what's going on.
Yeah. So this they moved. So it's now on what, Netflix? I saw the pay-per-views are on Netflix.
Yeah, the pay-per-views are on Netflix. Everything else,
scattered.
Yeah, some stuff on YouTube. Covered. Yeah, I don't even think they got all of Raw on Netflix yet. Which yeah.
They do not. No, yeah, so. I think they have a bunch of non-exclusive deals for this stuff, and all I can ask when it comes to that is, I guess why? I feel like having one hub kind of worked for a long time. I don't know why you need to differentiate from that, but whatever.
Yeah, it's very weird. I will say this. I do like the live YouTube channels.
Yes. Yeah, when
I just want
fun.
Something yes. to brain rot, and I get to watch Jake the Snake Roberts versus fucking anybody in the late 80s. I see his face. Dino, let's just say Dino Bravo. If I see Jake the Snake Roberts versus Dino Bravo, I'm like, okay, I'll sit and watch for a little bit. You know, like, those are fun. I hate that, like, 10 years ago, we had it all at the palm of our hand. And, like, we had rightful complaints about it, but now we don't have it at all.
Yeah.
So it really sucks.
And that's the thing, like, you know, we can go and find the Raws and SmackDowns from 2010 or whatever. They're out there. But do we want to do that?
It takes work.
You know? Yeah.
If I was 16, and I think about this often, if I was 16, I still wanted to brick my iPhone, trying to jailbreak it, then I would do so. But I'm 34 and I have money. I don't want to do that. I don't have it in me to do that. I'll just pay the fine for whatever streaming service. And unfortunately, I can't. I have all the streaming services already. They can put them up on any one of them. Pick your poison.
Yeah.
I even have YouTube Premium because, let's be honest with you, if you're living without YouTube Premium in this age, yeah, that's poverty. It is poverty. Yeah. Grow up. anyway, let's talk about the Rumble. From the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, they said it was 18,000 people in attendance. I question that. Just sitting on that for a hot second, they're supposed to do WrestleMania here. in 14, 15 months. I don't know if that's a good idea still. It was never a good idea, but like even less now.
I feel, well, they're definitely going to do it.
They're going to do it because they've already been paid.
Yeah, they've already been paid. They're gonna do what they're going to do. I think the only thing that I've ever thought when it comes to them doing a Saudi Rumble is that I do wonder in the back of my head, like, okay, they're going to do that for them. So what are they going to do for the people in the United States? So I feel like they're going to end up supersizing one of these events. Maybe SummerSlam next year will just be gigantic because they feel they have to owe it to the United States fans because of the Saudi Rumble. Or not the Saudi Rumble, Saudi Mania.
Yeah.
And I could theoretically see that. I guess that, you know, looking forward, like, okay, like, is it going to be a two-night thing again? Are they going to daringly do a one-night thing and whatever? I don't know. I feel like it's probably just going to end up being two nights, but yeah, it's an idea, and certainly they've taken their lumps over the years for the Saudi stuff. I feel like they've mostly conditioned everybody that watches them to just either choose to watch it or not. But yeah,
well, plus the Saudi money is everywhere now, and you know, Formula One.
That's also accurate. Yeah, I mean it's everywhere, so they probably feel like, okay, you know, don't look at us, look at everybody else, but whatever. I get both sides of it, basically.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird if you look out, because we're very so weird. Used to 70,000, allegedly 90,000 people in attendance for these WrestleManias, and to possibly see the size of the Rosemont Horizon in there, it's just like, well, shit, you could have did that in America. You could have just went to India and had an actual show, and it would have been a bigger WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, like, because I kind of thought the stadiums that they used to run the Saudi shows at least like the original ones, Greatest Royal Rumble and stuff, were like huge, yeah. And then I know they moved to the one in Riyadh, the other one they used to use. But yeah, I kind of thought this one was going to be bigger based on, like, oh, they're building a stadium just for the Rumble, which was a thing that came up a lot. And yeah, it was kind of not very big, and I don't know. I think it was more full than it looked in the lower levels.
Think
they just had really dumb light placement, yeah. But I don't know about those upper levels.
It was the light placement. I saw some pictures of the crowd afterwards. They were pretty filled up to the top. Those LED lights are just weird as hell.
A lot of times you couldn't tell if the people were.
You
there
legitimately could. Mm-hmm. You could not tell if they were there because those giant lights were there and everything was dark. But like, and they do that at Intuit also. But at least with Intuit, it's a dome. So, you know, you can kind of get that perceived lighting. But the perceived lighting is weird when it's in open-air stadium.
Yeah, it was super weird. But I also wonder, like, how the wrestlers – the Royal Rumble is very because, like, wrestlers know they feed off crowd. They feed off energy. And that's a match that's just constantly giving it to you because you have to pick up any time that, you know, an entrant comes in. It just automatically picks up. And then depending on who it is, it can either elevate or deflate. And I wonder how many times it came off as deflating, even, you know, in the case of, like, let's say a Powerhouse Hobbs, you know, did that come off the way that, you know, they envisioned when they realized they were doing this. Anyway, let's start with the Women's Rumble, and then we'll back our way into the Men's Rumble. I have an issue with, and maybe they just do this with the Women's Rumble because they want to give, like, showtime. Entrant number 30 comes out. There are now 14 women in the ring.
Yeah.
When the Rumble has reached its limit, why is that? Why is nearly half of the Rumble still in the ring or surrounding the ring, still in the match? That was a little bit of a, you know, that just stuck in my craw. Listen, ultimately, the theme of this Royal Rumble is going to be predictability, expectancy, They didn't really sugarcoat who was going to win this particular match. If you've been watching television, you kind of had an idea that Liv Morgan was going to win it. Very, very nice way of coming up with it. I thought Sol Ruka, listen, great, phenomenal performance.
Yes.
Phenomenal performance. That's not going to go on the highlight reel because I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. That wasn't going to work anyway. And, you know, we could talk about, like, some of the other, like, key performers in the match. But, like, Riot Woman won. Riot Woman should have won. And we're recording this, before I wrap up, we're recording this on Sunday, February 1st. Tomorrow is Raw in Philadelphia. And Stephanie Vacaire is going to be defending the Women's Championship, Women's World Championship against Raquel. I'm going to go ahead and predict Raquel wins. And then we get our Judgment Day disillusion over the next couple months leading to Liv and Raquel. But
So Pierce, you think that they're going the Mania 11 route with Shawn Diesel, huh?
Yes.
You know what? I can see that. And as far as the Rumble goes, I thought it was a good match. I thought it was much better than last year's. I hated last year's Rumble. And I'll get into why I did before. I'll get into why I did later. The only two people that I thought could have won that weren't Liv were probably Io and Rhea, just because
they got knocked out pretty.
Yeah, with what they're doing, I thought that maybe, you know, they'd have Io win or something to kind of split the divide, because I think they're Eddie and Rey, Io and Rhea. I think eventually one of them is going to turn on the other.
Yeah, I like that.
So I just thought maybe Io wins to kind of start driving the wedge for Rhea, but they ultimately went with Liv. I think that that's good. The only thing that I was getting pause on was that, you know, she was pointing out how often she was the runner-up. I felt like maybe if she was a face that she would be able to pull that off better. But to be honest with you, I think at this point, like, you've gone all in with her, and now the next step is to have her get a big Mania win. So this is the right way to go. And you don't get there until you get there, in my opinion. So I have no problem. Like you said, Right Woman won.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as, they had the right winner. That's for sure. I agree with Pierce that there are too many people in the ring at the end. They do have to do something about that. And, you know, whether it's just going to break up the big elimination spots that you have for someone like Lash Legend or Raquel or Jordan Grace, you know, one of the bigs that come in, maybe break those up a little bit, maybe have it so it's 8 or 9 people in the ring at the end. But, like, beyond that, I do think it was a pretty good match. I think, like I said, the right person won, and that's almost as important as anything else in a Royal Rumble. And, I also think that Liv and Raquel's the direction, which it's kind of interesting with Io and Rhea now, because clearly, like, they're setting something up for all the tag teams, but, like, I don't know, because it's tough to really look at that and be like, oh, Io and Rhea are going to be in this tag match, you know, maybe Charlotte's going to be in this tag match. Like, would they really do that to so many other big-time women stars, or are they just trying to make new big-time women stars?
Yeah, because that's the other thing that I wanted to point out here, and if I may make a declarative statement, I'm going to right now.
Declare it.
The Four Horsewomen era is dead. And if it's not dead, it's knocking on death's door. You had Charlotte last night or yesterday. She went over in almost an hour. She was the Iron Woman of the Rumble with 59-49, but she only had two eliminations. Becky was in there for a cup of coffee, 7 minutes and 35 seconds. She eliminated Maxine and got eliminated by Natty. Honestly, you could have had her not be in the Rumble and it would have had the same exact impact. Bayley had no eliminations. Alexa had no eliminations. Asuka had no eliminations. That era is done. So they're good. They're moving forward and they're moving ahead now. Now, and I think you guys pointed out, and I thought this was egregious also, that they had so many people at the end of the match. It's kind of funny because last year, my problem with the match was that there were too many people in it that were like mid-carders. And they were just taking up so much time from the stars. And you had people in that match that were going over 38 minutes and they were barely getting any eliminations. 13 of the eliminations last year were by Nia and Charlotte. Nia had 9 of them.
Yeah, that was too much. I will agree with that.
Charlotte was only in there for 15 minutes last year and won, which is fine. But, like, you had Roxanne last an hour and 7 minutes. She only had one elimination. You had Liv last an hour and 7 minutes. She only had 2 eliminations. Io only had an
at one elimination in an hour six.
What were
six.
They doing for this whole time? This just seems like a waste of time.
I don't know. Then again, that was last year. I don't know what they were doing. This year, they were much more balanced. Nobody went over 59-49. There were only three other people that went over 38 minutes. Last year, there were six. So they definitely balanced it more, but they need to – I thought that they did a lot with the Stars yesterday, but they still need to get with it that the Stars in that match can carry the match or whatever. They don't have to have everybody in there for the sake of having everybody in there.
Yeah, that seems to just be a little bit of a waste. And like I said, I think – I wonder if it's because – they want to give a lot of these ladies screen time. They went 20-something years without having a Rumble. So, you know, time is of the essence.
Yeah.
Got to catch up. But, yeah, it really did not feel it was not fun for me. Let's kind of, go over our highlights of this Rumble. I think in every, time we go to Saudi because we know of, the limitations that they have there. We used to bitch and complain, rightfully so, about the fact that, these ladies aren't uncovered while the men get to just have their shirts off. And, I totally get it. But I think this is the absolute best way for these women to share their creativity. I think these ladies fucking met the moment when it came to the bodysuits, the outfits. Everybody pointed out Roxanne's Shego was fucking phenomenal. That was my favorite of the night. Number one with a bullet. I really like Kiana's. Which, by the way, what a fucking performance by Kiana James.
Yes.
Her to
she
was the one who got the spot to lift up Nia Jax, and that was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So showing, especially after the fucking knee injury. Good lord. I thought she did tremendous. A couple others I'll just kind of go through quick. You had the clash between Io and Asuka and Julia. I thought that was great.
Yep, that was cool.
I give it up for Lash. I was going to mention that Lash, the way she eliminated Io was fucking ruthless.
Yep.
That kick to the fucking face. But eliminated Io, eliminated Charlotte, getting her get back from last year when she was the runner-up, eliminated Rhea. Holy fucking shit. Like, she's got back-to-back phenomenal Rumble performances.
She led in eliminations with five.
Then it was very obvious that she led. She was fucking tremendous. Saudi Arabia, you cannot fool me. Fool me.
Yeah.
But yeah, she did great. I'm excited for what she's got in store for this year. I thought that was a mishap with Becky and what was it? Becky and
Eddie or Maxine, or
was it Maxine that got eliminated? And I was like, oh shit, I don't think she was supposed to be eliminated. But then Charlotte came out right next, and it was like, oh no,
that
was meant to happen. I'm blanking on who it was. I don't think it was because Natty was the one who ended up eliminating Becky. So I think they came in later. But I like that we got Charlotte and Becky, back together, kind of having their little stuff. But the roles reversed because now Becky, which since we have been away, has become the most entertaining heel in all of professional wrestling. And all she has to do is imitate the leader of the free world. greatness personified, and it's not just me saying it, everyone's saying it. And then Charlotte now as like this like weird face. I liked it.
Charlotte seems to be enjoying the tag stuff. I think she might end up having to work Jade because I don't know who else on SmackDown Which is a shame because I have liked the tag stuff. I mean, I don't watch SmackDown every week, but from what I've seen, it's been fun. And, both of them are having fun doing it. But, it is what it is. They have that out with the tag stuff, like I talked about, if they're going to set that up for Mania.
And I think they
would wrestle then. But
they did a good job of setting everything up in the tags. If you were looking between the lines, like there was plenty of heat between, Nia and Charlotte and obviously Charlotte and Lash and all those other people, they did some, obviously they had Charlotte and Alexa's elimination come at the expense of each other.
Yeah.
I think that uniquely, they keep telling you that Bailey and Lyra aren't working out because they tried to work as a team but got eliminated by the Bellas. Both of them did. And so you look at that. You look at what happened with Liv and Raquel, and Roxanne obviously will be a factor there too. And Asuka and Kairi, they both got eliminated by each other. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff that they did with the tags, and it honestly, to me, it shows that they did a good job of building all that, because you had a lot to work with in this match. I think
You had a lot of those girls in the ring, and it's like, oh, they had a homie, and they're not, their homie ain't there no more. You know, in the case of like Alexa and Charlotte starting off and it being different than what you usually see when you see tag team partners or homies kicking off Rumble, right?
Yeah.
You know, Judgment Day kind of being in at the same time, and then also getting the spot where Liv knocks out Raquel. I thought they did a very good job of weaving in all of the partnerships, all the tag teams in the match. That's probably one of the good things that come out of all of them being in the ring at the same time. We had a couple of returns. Tiffany Stratton was number 30. We were expecting her to come back sometime soon, and she got the 30 spot. Number 29 was the biggest one, and that was Brie Bella. One of those where, like, you instantly hear the Brie moan. It's like, oh, shit, Brie Bella's back. And then you hear the crowd also get hyped to see Brie Bella back and get hyped to do the yes kicks. And it was good to see Brie back. I'm glad that now we can, you know, get the Bella reunion tag team tour, presumably as heels, because, you know, Nikki turned a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's good to see Brie. I always kind of thought it was kind of suspicious to be like, oh, she can't come because, you know, she's married to someone in AEW when there's plenty of people married
to
people in AEW.
That's like saying that I can't come to a 10-year championship reunion because my new team would think it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I mean, I think it's probably for the best to just put Nikki and Brie together at this point. I don't think Nikki as a singles is working out super well.
She's also caught up in, you know, there's a lot of people in that fucking division right now and all that show.
And, yeah, there's a lot of people in that division, a lot of people on that show.
And also, like, the tag titles are as important as ever right now for the women.
Yes.
And
yeah, they're hot.
And those two have never won it either. So, like, I mean, whatever. Like, if you want to just put it on them and finally do that, have a WrestleMania moment for those two, then yeah.
And I mean, you know, this is a case where, you know, I want to say the phrase, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If they do a multi-woman tag match with the Bellas, they're probably going to get a lot of promotion for it, because the Bellas, you know, they obviously know how to promote themselves, and they get mainstream attention. I don't know what that looks like for everybody else, but all I'm saying is, like, maybe they, you know, find a way for everybody to get a piece of the pie there.
Yeah.
I would be absolutely all for some sort of tag chaos, especially because they've already done it with the dudes. They've already set that precedent. So go forth with the women too.
Absolutely. So let's narrow it down and let's talk about the women's championships, all four of them. Okay. We mentioned the WWE women's title in Jade.
Yes.
And yes, it really does not seem like there is a clear-cut opponent for her.
No. Nope.
If it's not going to be Bianca Belair, and I think a lot of people were at least hoping, praying this would have been the moment that she came back. She's not. Now she's not back at the Rumble. I'm kind of like, well, she might as well just sit out until the summer.
Yeah.
You know, because she right. Hey. The shuffle is here, and then, you know, you're going to be taking away a spot from another girl that could probably use it, right?
Yeah, the shuffle's here, and also, like, if she's not coming back to fight for a title, I feel like in a funny way that's sort of underwriting her at this point. Because I think that she took the step back to work with Jade in the tag team. She was in the title hunt going into last year's Mania. But now I feel like the injury and whatever she's been dealing with has been incredibly unfortunate. What I think, though, is a lot of time has passed since she was on top. I think it's been 3 years now since she had the championship. So now it's like, you know, whenever you run her back, if she's champion, it feels fresh again. And I think that's something that she can use to her benefit.
Yeah, I would agree. It's kind of, you know, it's a, I guess, similar situation to her husband, and Street Profits is like, you know, you bring him back now, and maybe the tag team division is a little bit different because I don't think either tag team division is like really solid right now, but you know, you bring him back and you don't really have a great plan for them, then what the fuck are you doing?
And I mean, it's always interesting because, you know, people get upset when people are kept off TV, but it's almost better, I guess, to keep them off TV if you don't have anything for them. Like, I know the idea is, oh, you shouldn't have people that you don't have anything for, but I mean, that's how it goes sometimes.
I don't think it's possible. I think that's it's unrealistic to expect everybody to have something in the ongoing moment. And there's also such a difference between
who gets creative in the company and who has creative in the company. I think that also is a factor that really amplifies at least the people at the top who've earned that seniority and the people who aren't. But yeah, it's better than the alternative, which used to be, you know, everybody had to attend Raw or everybody had to attend SmackDown, even if you weren't used, and you had to spend hours and hours in catering or whatever. Meanwhile, if they're not on TV, if they have nothing for these people, they just get time off. And I mean, that's not, you know, you obviously as a fan, you want to see these people on TV and whatnot, but like,
it's great for the wrestlers. Maybe it's not great for Cody. Cody wants to work. Cody doesn't want to be at home with his wife and two children.
It's true.
But yeah, like, you know, it seems like the only person that really can give Jade maybe a proper match. Because also the thing is that we know that Jade is fucking greener than goose shit. That's not the point. She's a champion because she is a star. And if she's going to be a champion going into WrestleMania and the match is going to be big and it's going to be good, you're going to need somebody to lead that match. And I don't think there's a better person out there right now, currently, that's not doing anything else better to lead that match than Charlotte Flair. You know, I mean, yeah, that's probably better wrestlers. Yeah, Bayley can lead that match, but do you think that it has the star power that you expect it to?
Also,
go ahead.
Also, if I may, I don't know, and I can't speak for what she wants to do or what her wants and her desires are. I don't know if Bayley is in a position where she wants to just like do the job for Jade just to get her over because no one else will.
Right.
Because it feels like to me, because like I noticed, and this is a weird thing. I don't know anything that happened, but I noticed that she had the one match with Tiff and that was it. And Tiff had plenty of reason to want to feud with Bayley after she kept interrupting her matches. That never happened. If they didn't have her do that for Tiff, I don't know if they would have her do that for Jade either. Right. I wouldn't, and to be clear, I wouldn't have a problem with that because I think Raw is so overloaded with talent that they probably should send someone over to SmackDown, but shit, just do Charlotte, which I find ironic because everyone was mad that she was in the title match last year. Mm-hmm. But there's only so many ways that you can do this.
So here's another proposal I'm going to throw out there because I do think it's weird if we get here, you know, this whole time and Charlotte's got a solo match at WrestleMania and what the fuck Alexa's doing.
Yeah,
you can find a way to parlay that into a triple threat.
You could.
Ooh, yeah, you could. Intriguing. You could because Alexa has plenty of star power herself. Mm. And really, you know, this is totally me fan fiction things right now, but like if you try and harp on the fact that Alexa had those concussions against Ronda and really since then hasn't been anything of a credible singles competitor, of her wanting to get back to that, that's a good story to tell. Mm-hmm. That's a really good thing that I think Alexa would know how to do. She's great at the promo cutting and whatnot when she was in her prime or whatever. But I would totally be up for a triple threat for that reason. Because, you know, if you want to keep pushing the allies of convenience thing, then yeah, like they have no real reason to be partners, but that can kind of force the issue there too. Yeah, I like that.
All right, let's go over to Raw. And we kind of already just like slightly mentioned it. But I mean, do we all think that that's where we're going to go with Raw, with Liv being the Rumble winner? Can we see Liv versus Stephanie? Would we get a multi-woman match?
I think the thing with Stephanie, because if she loses the title, everyone's gonna be like, oh, you know, she wasn't ready for a WrestleMania spot or whatever. And I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true either.
I just, she's maybe not, it's not even that she's not ready for it this year. It's just that the pieces aren't really there this year. Like, she's champion now, whatever. But, like, you know, the Judgment Day thing has to happen eventually. They've been teasing it for long enough. You know, people keep getting hurt or they keep catching fire again or, you know. But eventually you do have to go through with it and kind of start the next beat of that story. And, you know, the way to do that, I think, is to do Liv and Raquel at WrestleMania. And that's not to say necessarily that Stephanie has to lose tomorrow either. I mean, you could put the title on the line in the Elimination Chamber or whatever, if that's the way that they're going. If they're giving, you know, the Raw women the Elimination Chamber, I don't know that part yet either. Yeah, obviously depends what Roman picks too. So I mean, but you know, there's some options now. I think Liv, you know, even if it is Liv and Rhea, that's a match that, you know, has plenty of lore and story behind it. The only one that I think it probably won't get to at this point is EO, just because they're both kind of, you know, that'd be kind of a weird match.
Short.
I think, yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think the most likely is probably Liv and Raquel, but if Rhea ends up as champion going into it as well, that wouldn't surprise me. But then again, it becomes, what do you do with EO then? So it's going to be interesting. I don't think it'll be Stephanie though.
Yeah. And I don't think that that's, you know, anything against Stephanie. Like you guys said, like it's,
we have to get to that story with Liv and Raquel and Judgment Day and everything else. And also, like, Stephanie was a double champion in NXT. She came up, got protected, got a title match, won that title match against EO, beat a few Hall of Famers, and will have had the title for 5 months.
Yeah,
it's not a bad start.
Mm-hmm. It's really if not. She's had an excellent run to start her WWE.
She had, and it's not. This isn't them being like, oh, this failed, we need to move on to this. Like, no, it's just. It feels like this is just the natural order of things, and giving her the out with the injury that she has will only, you know, invoke more sympathy for her. So when she comes back, you know, she has plenty of ammunition behind her.
1,000%. The mid cards right now, you have Julia as the United States champion again. Becky is your IC champ. The best IC champion of all time. It's not just me saying it. Everybody's saying it. I mean, I feel like I would probably be more comfortable with Becky and AJ if AJ would have showed up in the Rumble. I think that her not being there may have, and she might have her reasons for not showing up. I mean, that maybe kind of lessened the possibility in my mind. Because really, just to be honest, you could throw anybody in that match for the Intercontinental Championship against Becky Lynch.
I had the reverse idea there, if I may.
Okay. Maybe so, not Lyra. You can't throw Lyra in there, as we have seen on TV.
No. So what I think is that told me that I don't think that I think Becky and AJ are wrestling at WrestleMania. I don't, because I think that AJ is part timing. I don't know why Mike Johnson said she was full-timing when she was obviously part-timing from the jump.
Yeah, that's clear.
But what that told me is that their match isn't going to be for that title. And I say that because I don't think that they would put that title on a part-timer in AJ, because I don't think that Becky beating her really makes a lot of sense.
Right.
So ultimately, I think that yesterday was a tell, and I do think that title is going to eventually end up in Natty's hands, which you can say whatever you want about that, and don't activate me. But I think Becky and AJ is going to be a big non-title singles match in Mania instead of for a championship, just because I can't see AJ being Intercontinental Champion if she's not there every week. But I also can't see Becky wrestling like anybody else.
I totally get it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, it's because I don't think Becky and AJ is going to be for the title either, though. And
no,
like,
because that's the thing. Like, it wouldn't make sense for it to be for the championship, just because
you're not going to do Becky and Maxine again.
No.
So you're not. Do you parlay what happened yesterday and said Natty getting the title shot?
Yes, I think that that's what you're going to do, and you're eventually going to get a Natty Maxine feud, probably, that Natty's probably hoping works. God bless it. But Yeah, I think that the door opened for that to happen, because I thought that was going to happen anyway when Natty changed her gimmick. I just thought that Maxine was going to win the title and Natty would turn on her and get the championship, but she did all that without Maxine winning. So
yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I mean, I think as far as setting up Becky and AJ, like, it's not going to take much. They have history, obviously, already. And, you know, maybe when Becky does lose that title, it's because AJ distracts her or whatever. And
well, they already, the thing is, they already did that at the Garden. So they're going to have to come up with something a little more creative.
True. True.
Unless she, like, physically costs her this time, which could happen.
Yeah. Could no, that's fair. I mean, it's clear that Becky's going to have something big at WrestleMania, you would imagine, though, and I don't know if it's going to be for that title. I don't know how good a Becky and AJ singles match would be, but, you know, it'll be...
Ultimately, you have to remember that nobody was an AJ fan because of her in-ring.
Well, that's true.
Right. So maybe that's a reason to, you know... So maybe that's a reason to take it outside the ring, make it a street fight, make it a
grudge match.
Because, you know, I agree with you, Chris. I don't think that this match needs the title. It's never been built over the title. It's been built over their hatreds over their husbands.
Yeah, so. And that's a really funny thing to say, because a lot of people love saying this shouldn't be for the title, but in this instance, it's this true. Literally should not be for the title.
There's no reason for it to be for the title.
No.
Any quick thoughts on the women's tag title? Like, this can be your tag. Yeah, honestly, yeah. I would make this a ladder match.
I would
You've
too.
Never
they
done a
have.
Women's ladder match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've started to do like that big tag showcase ladder match with the men. You know, they did one this year, and they at SummerSlam, but I mean, they did one
at Mania 42. Yeah. 12-man, I remember.
And maybe we get a Kabuki Warriors split, because I feel like we were kind of building towards that.
Yes, yes. So if you did Rio, Bailey and Lyra, Lash and Naya, I always say Nash and Lyra, I swear to God. Kabuki Warriors, and then, you probably can't do Alexa and Charlotte then, because they would be involved in the main match.
But mess, oh, no.
Yeah, Chelsea. you could do Chelsea and Alba for sure. And maybe get, like, maybe scrape one more team from somewhere. Maybe Julia and Kiana, if Julia isn't defending her title,
Sol
which
Ruka and Zarya
doesn't really need.
Oh, no, that's destroying at, what's the show? Stand and Deliver, right? That's Stand and Deliver match.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah, unless Sol gets a soft call-up like Rox did last year after her Rumble performance.
She was great. She was phenomenal. Another, we mentioned Chelsea Green and Alba Fire. I thought that was incredibly funny.
Yes.
coming in and preventing every time that she would get thrown over the top rope. I thought that was great.
Yes.
Was it a fun Rumble match? Yes. Is it one that I'm going to be like, yo, I can't wait to watch this back? Probably not. But, I mean, there's not a lot of women's Rumble matches for me to have that feeling, so...
Yeah, pretty much. It's, you know, the first one was excellent, and
the Becky one I was there for, so I'm a little bit biased on that, but after that.
I mean, a few of them have been fun, a couple of them have been actively bad, and, you know, yesterday was fun instead of bad, so.
Yeah, that's a low bar, but they cleared the low bar. let's now go, we can briefly mention, it. AJ Styles is done, dude, like, the fuck?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, just because it kind of came out of nowhere, especially after the John Cena thing last year, but that's not how every retirement goes, and it feels like it's legitimate, I guess, because I thought maybe he'd come back in the Rumble and eliminate Gunther or something, but that didn't happen, so I guess we'll see, because, I mean, he came back and got his gloves back or whatever, so I don't know if that represents, like,
he's done with WWE, but not just done in
WWE. Yeah, I don't know, I mean... Do I think he could go to AEW for a year or two? Yeah, probably. I mean, there's some matches there that I think would be a lot of fun, but I don't know if he really even wants to. You know, he's been pretty consistently doing it for 25 years. You know, he's rarely been injured or had any really major breaks. So, Yeah, I mean, his ankle a couple of years ago is the first like big injury I can think of that he's had, you know, for someone that wrestles on TV every week for 25 years is crazy. So maybe he's just taking a little break. I don't know. I don't think it'll be a thing where, like, if he is done, he's going to show up in AEW this week like Ciampa did. But, like, who knows? I mean, we'll see. It was a great match, though.
Fucking phenomenal. I mean, you know, he, of course it's phenomenal. But, like, just a reminder, I am AJ Styles. And then Gunther is probably the best wrestler on the planet.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is just what you get. Chris, what'd you think?
You know, I was actually kind of surprised that Styles lost in the way that he did. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people who are disappointed that he had his career end at an event that wasn't in the United States. And I do understand how people feel. I think it's a little different from the Cena stuff in terms of everyone's reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ultimately, if that's what Styles wants to do, that's what Styles wants to do. He might, you know, he might coach in NXT. He might be totally done. I mean, nobody really has any, like, lockdown idea of what he's doing. But it's the end of it. I think that, you know, all I have to say also is that a lot of people seem to be having a negative reaction to Gunther retiring Cena and Styles. And it seems like it's from a perspective of like, oh, they hate the fans and, you know, they're doing this to fan favorites. And it's like, okay, well, you can think that and that's fine.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
If Gunther wrestles Brock Lesnar in Minnesota in August, and it's a retirement match,
you're not feeling the same way.
I just want people to be consistent with that, because I don't know if they're going to. And again, I understand why, but this is why I struggle with blurring the lines of things. Also, because I could say some dumb things about what Cena and Styles have done in their lives, and they're not perfect people either. But it's just, That's my only side comment on Gunther right now, where he stands. I feel like people are understating the kind of impact that they're making on that guy by having him be like a career killer or whatever.
Yeah. I think my only thing with him is I don't know what they can do at WrestleMania now, because
that is the thing.
I was
right?
hoping that it was going to be Styles and Gunther at WrestleMania.
That's the only thing I'm thinking. Like, maybe they find a way to stretch it out to that somehow and like. I don't know how you do that, but
you can't really do that without having Styles go back on his word, and that kind of just looks lame and cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at like big guys that aren't in the title picture that Gunther could face after facing, you know, Cena and Styles. It's like, well, Randy Orton's there, I guess, but I don't know if he's
Randy's
you know, ready
not close to retiring. No.
Yeah.
No.
And they also did that at King of the Ring last
year. They did.
So, you know, you have that one, and then, you know, he's not going to wrestle Cody because they did that not long ago.
They did it, but they did it at Crown Jewel. And to be entirely fair, if Cody's not in the match with Drew, and I don't honestly know what they're going
to
be doing.
I think it's Cody and Jacob.
We're
going
to get to talk about it. Yeah. How about that? We're going to talk about it a little bit.
But I will say, if they don't do that, and if Cody needs a match, well, and if Gunther needs a match, then you pull a mid-2000s and have the two biggest non-champions from each brand face each other.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
no, good. that would be pretty interesting. Let's talk about the Rumble now. This was not your standard Rumble because I don't think there are a lot of. There was one surprise I can really remember. That I think that's the only surprise, right?
Scott Hobbs. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't count.
You count
like Mr.
Iguana
and Laparca.
I mean, it's not the OG Laparca, so it's not a surprise. Like,
yeah.
I
think the surprise is that they were the only two AAA contracted stars. I expected La Hydra and a couple of girls to be there. Nope.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really do surprises, especially for the men anymore in the past few years. Like, there's not a ton of surprises out there left, I don't think, really, is the thing.
That's
like,
really the thing. I think that's really the thing that, like, I get why people like the surprise element of the Rumble and all that other stuff. My argument is genuinely that there are little to no surprises left that they could possibly do. And that's a product, I think, of them circling back for virtually everybody at this point, giving everybody their own personal moment of return or whatever, and also just general investment in the people that they have, which I think, you know, you could argue maybe the surprises happened a lot more in the 2010s or whatever because they weren't doing that. And they realized late in the game, like, oh, well, this person's not that credible. What can we do? Oh, let's get a surprise person from the past and have them be in the match. Because, like, you know, you look at just the wrestlers in general, like, and everyone always, you know, finds someone to latch onto. They're going to catch on and be like, oh, well, you know, you're using surprises instead of your actual roster. Yeah, I don't necessarily mind the lack of surprise at all.
They also only announce like 12 people a year now. So technically you have, you know, a lot of surprise.
This is true. You have a lot of room for, okay, maybe this person shows up or that person shows up.
Yeah, I also think it was hard being Saudi Arabia. Like,
yeah,
you're going to know.
That too. Ultimately, that too.
Big, huge guy that's getting on the plane bound for the Middle East. And he's not wearing any fatigues. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we started off the Rumble, and I maybe it wasn't a mistake on Friday that they showed Braun as the number one entrant. Maybe that was deliberate.
Yeah, it might have been.
Because it got people talking, and, oh, they spoiled it, da-da-da-da-da. And then that played into the pre-show where Heyman was like, oh, you spot it. And Braun was two. Well, we were wondering who's number one. It's Obafemi. And Obafemi gets a hell of a reaction from the crowd. He, my friends, and we just sit here, just mention him specifically. He, my friends, is ready.
Yes.
And when I say ready, I mean we don't need a fucking Intercontinental Championship match.
No.
Make him a main event player now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. I think that actually might be the plan. You know, he had the non-finish with Cody at Saturday Night's main event, and then how he came out yesterday. Like, I don't know if he's going to have a WrestleMania match or whatever, but as soon as WrestleMania's done, he's, you know, it could be like a fast-tracking that we haven't seen probably since Brock, to be honest with you.
Yeah, truly. Yeah.
Very true.
So he comes in, and then Braun's making his way down the ring, and all of a sudden, Maxed Figure attacks Braun Breaker, stomps him, throws him back into the ring, and then Obafemi throws Braun out. Who do you think this is?
Seth.
Yeah,
someone appearing to be Seth.
Yeah, I don't think that specific one was Seth, but I think. Yeah. And I don't think it's a new person of the Vision or whatever, like they did with Theory before. Yeah. I don't think it's that either. I think it's just more that, you know, Braun Seth is the WrestleMania match. I think Seth will be ready by WrestleMania. They feel pretty good about that. Otherwise, I don't think they would have done that. And yeah, I mean, it's really if Braun's not going to win the Rumble, which he wasn't ever going to, that's a really good way to do that. He almost has to get eliminated by his WrestleMania opponent, and he did kind of by proxy here.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Exactly.
So we have ruled out the possibility that this Maxed Figure was Adam Pearce.
Well,
I'm not joking.
I mean,
that would be funny.
That would be intricate. Cause I mean, he kind of on Raw, he kind of caved immediately about letting Braun be unsuspended and all that, which I thought was strange. I don't think it's him, but I mean, it's an interesting theory.
I think there's been a lot of the rumors that potentially Braun's opponent at WrestleMania could be Adam Pearce. I know it's weird. I know it's out there. I don't know. It was just I agree that it was not Seth. But I think it would be weird to now have a Seth imitator do the stomp for Seth. And it's not. And you know, I feel like that part will be weird. I feel like I'm not 100% certain it's Adam Pearce. But I'm very certain it's Adam Pearce.
Okay.
I'm just, something's telling me that that's where they're going. Anyway, Obafemi then fucking runs roughshod through the goddamn Rumble. He just fucking killed it. We eventually get to a point in the Rumble where El Grande Americano is in the Rumble, and he's got a whole Mexican fit on, and my partner pointed that out, and I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. I wonder why. And then you get the original music of the OG El Grande Americano, and I cannot wait for this WrestleMania match. I cannot wait. It is going to be campy as shit, and you know what?
Yes.
You know what? It will make perfect sense if that WrestleMania match is Max versus Mask.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. No, I think that's what they're going to do, and yeah, they're going to lean into it. It's going to be a great time. Yeah, first of all, I'm happy to see Chad Gable back.
Yes.
He's great.
Excited. Bearded. He's got a beard, or goatee at least.
He does. Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested in it. I thought it was really funny. And I mean, that's another natural pairing for WrestleMania, obviously, since they kind of took him out and kind of have been stealing his bit there.
It's going to be so good when they finally link. They did the Spider-Man meme. It was fucking hilarious. Then we hear some music. We're not sure who it is. And then we see on the screen Powerhouse Hobbs. And then that screen blows up and his WWE name, Royce Keyes, now shows on the screen. So Powerhouse Hobbs left AEW recently. I mean, you can essentially call it a Hobbs for Ciampa trade, swap, whatever. But he's now on the WWE roster. He's Royce Keyes now. I think that you leave him on the main roster. I know that might be a little bit controversial because they had Rusev come out, and Rusev was out in like 40 seconds. Clearly, Rusev ain't doing shit since he went back to WWE. But I think he looked good enough, and he had a good enough reaction to where you can kind of leave him in the middle of the card somewhere, like in like the kind of like that Sheamus-y area. Mm-hmm. I think that's much better for him than being in NXT with all the kids trying to grow in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, you know, SmackDown's 3 hours as well. They could definitely use him there. He's a guy that, you know, has been wrestling on national TV for 4 years. Like, not everyone needs NXT, and I get why they send people there, but like,
he doesn't need the grooming.
No. I mean, this again, SmackDown's 3 hours. He's got a look where he can, you know, be imposing, and, you know, he can wrestle. And enough people, even in Saudi Arabia yesterday, I was surprised, knew who he was. So if you bring him out at, you know, say Raw in Philadelphia tomorrow, plenty of people know who he is.
Absolutely. I think that's a perfect, you know, just to continue kind of, you know, him getting him out in because he doesn't have to really be on a brand. He could be like Oba, free agent.
I was just gonna say, do you think that, and this is the same thing with Oba, really, do you think those guys should float right now for a little bit until they find a home after Mania?
Yeah. I think anybody who, what they said, Javon Evans is Raw, right?
He's not with Raw.
Jordan Grace officially SmackDown?
Yes, she is.
Okay. I think everybody else should be up in the air. Like,
agreed.
I think Trick is SmackDown, too.
Trick is SmackDown. Trick and Lash are married couple. Yeah. We're going to be married couple. So
right. I think Oba, in Oba's case, you have clearly earmarked him for main event success. So having the bidding war last a little bit would be very meaningful. I think Hobbs, just in a case of like, hey, I'm new here, you know, maybe kind of put him into a feud with somebody, or I don't know, The Miz. And you know, then he can have a more permanent home when we do the draft after WrestleMania, if they do a draft.
Yeah,
agreed.
No, I think it's that's really the way to put it down. Because yeah, even if you have those undecided guy or unbranded guys or whatever going into the draft, then yeah, just add them there, and that's a really easy way to fill that in.
I really liked how they were like, "Oh, there's Royce Keyes and Cody Rhodes have some history," and I'm like, elaborate on that, please.
I was surprised they showed Powerhouse Hobbs in the first place.
Right.
On the screen.
That may have been his indie name, so like he may have had that long
before. Well, that's true. Well, I know Hobbs is a real last name, and I guess Powerhouse is just a word, but like,
yeah,
fair. You can kind of get away with that. Also, speaking of like dancing around the obvious, I loved how when Brie came in and started doing the yes kicks, and they were like paying homage to her husband.
Yeah.
Right. Continuing on, like I said, Cody was in this. I think he was 11th.
He was 11th. Yeah, he came
much,
in early.
Very much pointed out that somebody had to anchor this match with all these kids since Oba threw them all out.
Yep.
But we eventually make our way to Cody being eliminated, and it's because of Drew McIntyre on the outside. Now, I mean, I think this is clear that we're going to get Drew and Cody at some point over the next month or so, potentially in Chicago at Elimination Chamber. But we'll put a pin in that and we'll come back to that because your eventual winner of the Royal Rumble. And like I said, this is a Royal Rumble. This is a year where predictability is the theme. Liv, you could clearly tell that Liv was going to win. And on the men's side, it was like, I don't really feel strongly for anybody. I mean, it might as well be Roman. Listen, man, if they were going to continue to throw down our throats, oh, well, Cody could be the second man since after Stone Cold Steve Austin to win 3 Royal Rumbles. But the biggest fucking wrestler of the last 10 years still has the one. And yeah. it's kind of a stain, really, because they booed the shit out of him. Maybe he should get one. And they did the right thing. And so Roman Reigns is your Royal Rumble winner. He will get his first shot at a main roster championship since he won, or since he lost the title in Philadelphia at WrestleMania 2 years ago. Now comes the fun part, because now we got to talk about our two champions, Drew McIntyre with the WWE Championship. CM Punk is still your world champion. There are some ways that you can go here to get Roman battling for either title. But who is he facing?
Give me Punk.
Yeah, I think it has to be Punk.
give me Punk.
Especially just kind of looking at how things are going to go. Like, it seems like Punk Finn is the Elimination Chamber match because they wanted a big Punk match at the United Center. I think Cody and Drew and probably Jacob in there is the direction on that one.
Yes, yes.
I don't think they'll just do Cody and Drew straight up again because they've done that for the past, 6 months. But, like, I think this inclusion of Jacob's really interesting. And Sammy might even, we didn't even talk about that match because I think it was kind of ended up just being whatever.
I feel like it was decisive. Like,
yeah, well,
it was very decisive.
It was. That's the thing. I know everyone's waiting on Sammy to finally win the big one, though. So I mean,
they are, and
maybe he
might have to wait a little bit. Maybe King of the Ring.
Yeah, he could definitely win King of the Ring. The issue really is how decisive it was yesterday, and I think that if they left any sort of room open for him, it would work. But that was just Claymore, boom.
Yeah, but no, either way, I think. I think it's going to be some combination of Cody and Drew and Jacob, probably all three of them.
Yes,
so that frees up Roman and Punk on the other end, which, a lot of people wanted last year. And, now we can hopefully just get it with not a third person thrown in. And, listen, I'm excited for it. It's two guys that I enjoy watching quite a bit. Some controversy about Roman winning, I guess. And I get it, you're trying to extend the bloodline era, quote unquote, I guess. I see the logic there. But, the other thing that you got to realize in this match in particular, Roman won. But, they spent a not, inconsequential portion of it building up a guy like Oba Femi or Trick Williams who had a good performance. Or, Dragunov was in there and he did his stuff. So it's like these young guys that they're featuring. Because I saw someone be like, oh, it's so desperate and, they're clinging on to stars to keep going back to Romans. No, not really. There's only a handful of guys, I think, who made sense to win in the first place. And he was one of them. People would have liked to probably see LA Knight, but to do LA Knight and Punk at WrestleMania, is that a WrestleMania match? That's the thing. So I don't have a problem with Roman winning. I do think it might become emblematic of a bigger problem, but the difference with, Roman being part-time and, Brock being part-time 10 years ago is the floor is higher now. So you have, if the champion, if Roman wins and he's not there, it's not as glaring because you have a guy like, Trick or Braun Breaker on Raw or young guys or even just people with direction now. So it's kind of a different ballgame than it was.
I don't know where it all comes from. I don't know if people just listened to
what he said on McAfee and decided to make it the narrative of the weekend, which I in hindsight, I think that that was silly of them to do that, especially considering that, like,
he was a little out of pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. And which, again,
whatever. Which is fine. I mean, I don't care. He has the right to act however he wants after, you know,
I don't care about what he says. What I do care about, what I do find obnoxious sometimes, is when people just latch onto things. Yeah. And I get it, but also, like, this thing people are doing where they want to say or suggest about young stars or whatever needing to take over, like, that's just not professional wrestling. If you look at the history of it, like, there's not a lot of top guys who've been young. And, you know, not to be whatever about it, but, like, we have contextual history in this century of what happens when you crown guys and they're young and too early. Like, look what happened with Brock. Look what happened with Randy. Orton. Yeah. Randy wasn't, people thought he was ready. He was not ready.
People think because The Rock had the gift of gab that, you know, this is just what happens for a lot of younger folks. Like, not only does it take a toll on a lot of people, a lot of people aren't mature enough to handle it. Rock was a different breed. Truly a different breed.
And he was.
Go ahead.
It's really funny you brought that up, because I had a conversation with Rob yesterday in the car. Like, all these people who keep bringing up the young stars or whatever argument, like, NXT does a good job of preparing everybody for the next level. But I could even sit here and argue with you, like, they don't take them on the road as much as they should, because that's part of the learning experience too. Hmm. It's about learning how to live on the road, learning how to adjust to that. Like, because it's a big shock for people. Like, it's not something that can just happen overnight. And in terms of even this Rumble, like, okay, if you want to, like, look through, like, the people that could have won, Gunther in a Terminator style after he eliminated Styles, that would have been interesting. I don't know if that would have been right, wrong, but it would have been interesting. And Gunther and Punk obviously had an incredible match at SummerSlam, so a rematch there would have been good. But, like, besides Knight, no, we weren't going to do the Jey Uso thing 2 years in a row. Wasn't going to happen.
He got his entrance 4 times. It's fine.
Get his entrance 4 times during the match, whatever, however many times it was. I don't even remember. But, like, yeah, I don't know where else you could have gone. Because, like, all the top, like, the interesting people are, like, involved with things right now or are already champion.
Yeah, listen, I feel like when it comes to the main roster titles, like you guys said, if Jacob's kind of involved in this, I think that he needs to be in that match with Cody and Drew. I could see.
Do you think he should win?
I didn't say he should win. I think he should be involved in it. I'm not going that far.
I won't go that far either, but I will say that he has gotten – he's made some tremendous strides this month.
He is, yes, also that, but I think he has been one of, or you could probably say last year, we're going to talk about our breakout performers in just a bit, you could say he was last year's breakout performer in WWE. And I knew this when I saw him in MLW all them years ago. He is a force, man, and I think the crowd saw that, and they took to it, and they love him. So I think, yeah, you could sell me on Jacob being in a championship match. I was, you know, I'm a cynic. So until you tell me otherwise, I'm going to believe you're preparing for Cody Roman 3. And I hate that I'm cynical in that way. But, like, listen, I got a email the other day. This weekend, by the time you hear this, it's probably over. This weekend, they were offering 20-25% off. WrestleMania tickets. Now, last year you didn't have that problem. I was hoping you had that problem last year, but last year didn't have that problem. For you to tell me that I can get 20% off of a WrestleMania ticket in the beginning of February tells me how you're having a little bit of a struggle selling tickets. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, you chose the same city that you did last year for no reason. Your prices are astronomically high and people can't afford tickets. But also, it also tells me that you might want a match that could probably sell those tickets. And that's not to say that CM Punk and Roman Reigns can't sell that ticket, but I feel like they know that they could sell it with Roman and Cody. So I'm going to be a cynic here and say that it's going to be Roman Cody. I don't know what you do with Seth. Maybe you do, you know, or sorry, Seth, I don't know what you do with Punk. Maybe you run Punk Gunther again. It's not what I want to see, but oftentimes WWE does the things that I don't want to see anyway.
Well, and that's the thing, like, that's a big match for Gunther, absolutely, but, like, and it was one of the best matches of the year last year. You can easily go back to it, but I guess, like, why not just have Gunther win the Rumble, then, if you're going to do that, you know, and also have him beat Styles the same night, like, whatever, so have him have all this.
You could also have him run through the Elimination Chamber.
That's true. That's true. That'd be a good spot for him, too. Because, no, I mean, when you put it that way, yeah, I could definitely see Cody and Roman one more time, especially because I don't think Roman has too many WrestleManias left. I think he'll do the Saudi one, maybe against The Rock or whatever, finally, and that's probably it. Like, I mean, he doesn't have too much left to do. So, like, he's in movies and stuff. You know, he's got probably more money at this point than he knows what to do with. Like, he's not a guy where I didn't think he's going to keep coming back. I know he does now, but I don't think in like 5 years we're going to see him coming back every so often.
Do you run Brock and Oba?
That one's interesting too, because I don't know why Brock would eliminate him otherwise. Because, like, I know someone has to eliminate him, obviously, and, like, you know, Brock's not a bad. I think Brock is a bad choice to do that, to be honest with you. I don't think Brock added anything to the match at all, to be honest with you, yesterday.
Absolutely not. He was in and out.
It kind of all slowed down once he came out there because he just did all his shit. And,
yeah, it was basically like, hey, we know Brock's going to be retiring soon. Just get in and do your last Rumble. Yeah. That's what it felt like to me.
Absolutely. So it's like, if you do want to have him wrestle Oba and then maybe he does wrestle Gunther at SummerSlam, then yeah, that'd be something. I mean,
yeah, because I think, because didn't they mention that SummerSlam was going to be his last? Is in Minneapolis.
It definitely seems like it.
If you're going to have him retire there, I'd rather it be going through retiring him there.
Yeah, that makes it. Yeah. It really depends too, I guess, like when he got a new contract or whatever. I don't ever know how his contract works.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense. If he signed that contract at SummerSlam last year, then that would be 1 year deal. So mm-hmm. That would be up on SummerSlam. That would make sense. But I mean, yeah, we're diverting away from championships. I mean, I think that's where you go with the both of those. Your mid cards, you could do whatever the fuck. I don't even remember who's IC champ right now. That's Dom. Forgot about Dom.
It is Dom. Yeah,
he's healthy enough to even defend that title. Shit.
I hope so. I think he was at the AAA show last night. But those are taped though. But yeah. I'm not sure what he did there. But yeah, I hope so. I mean, he's
fine. I don't need to be whatever about it, but like, he should
come off that title if he's going to defend it.
He really should come off that title. Yeah.
He didn't even really need it back, but I mean, Cena didn't need it in the first place, and the match at Survivor Series was fun, so whatever. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I think they're kind of, you know, losing opportunities by just having him sit idle with it. And I mean, like, I understand if they don't want to do the whole, like, hey, we're stripping. That used to be standard, so, like, whatever. But if it's almost been 2 months, so if he is significantly hurt, they got to do something.
You got to, because you do risk losing some juice for that title. Mm-hmm. And I think that on a show like Raw, where there's a plethora of main event people or people that they want to be main event or just big stars in general, it does have the issue of it could slide under everyone's eyes or whatever and not be a priority anymore if you continue to have them sit on it. Now, obviously, it doesn't take much to reignite things, but like, I think Raw has a big opportunity to have like a as good of a mid card right now as I think SmackDown's has right now, which I think they've done a good job with since they made some creative changes or whatever. It might just be open challenges, but like, they're getting use out of everybody.
And the wrestlers are good enough to make those open challenges competitive and interesting.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So yeah, maybe Raw goes the narrative way, and SmackDown goes the wrestling way. But you know, yeah, figure out what to do with that IC title, because you know, over on the SmackDown side, Ilya, or I guess start with Sammy. Sammy and Ilya and Carmelo have been doing a fucking hell of a job making you want to watch the mid-card SmackDown. If you see that their match is on, you'll want to pay attention.
If I can look at the Raw roster right now, if you don't mind, I can see people like Bronson and Gable and Dragon Lee. And I mean, if you wanted to try and do something with Grayson Waller again, you probably could do it with him in the mid card.
Because why is he with the New Day?
Yeah, like
how does that benefit any of them?
You could do something to benefit him more in that spot. I think if he was contending for the IC title instead, Knight's a guy who wants to be in the main event, but you can have him flip back and forth, no problem. I don't think.
Yeah,
Ray is always going to be a guy who gets credibility out of that. People who are Sheamus fans constantly tell me how much they want him to be Intercontinental Champion. Well, hey. He's on the show, so he's hurt and he might, you know, be a little bit on the way back, but like it's still an idea.
Yeah, I think you have a plethora of names that, you know, should be in the running and should have opportunities. Just you know, figure it the fuck out, Trips.
Yeah.
So we're done with the Rumble. We're on the way to WrestleMania. Let's talk about the year of 2026 to close it out here. I got a couple questions, predictions for the new year. I'll go through them for you. I want you guys to give me. We'll leave breakout for the end. We'll start with the salacious shit. Give me one major star, each of you. Give me one major star who will leave the WWE in 2026.
Ooh, that's tough because
do we define major as like, you know,
Your base level for major is Ricochet. How about that? Like, okay. If it's fucking someone on the fringes, it's like, whatever. Or like, no AJ, you know, no fucking Ciampa, because I think Ciampa misses the Ricochet cut. You know,
that's fair. It's really interesting because a lot of their major stars are actually in really good places for once, which hasn't always been the case. So it's like there's not someone that's being kind of held back. Like, I guess you could argue LA Knight, but he signed the contract, I think, 2024. So he's not.
He's still going to be there for a while.
He's not going anywhere. Like, Rusev's not going back, even though he's, you know, doing whatever. Like, I guess someone like Balor is always an interesting option because he does have ties to all those guys, but I don't know his contract situation either.
He re-signed in 24 as well, I believe, or 25. Okay. He was coming up around the same time as Priest, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's kind of tough.
It is tough. I'm going to go... I think someone like Miz might be kind of in his last year. I don't know if he's going to go wrestle elsewhere. I just think he might be kind of winding down and maybe won't get, you know, the full-blown retirement thing that might be more of a style situation, or he'll just kind of get slowly phased out because it always feels like he has so much other stuff going on that he could be doing. He's, you know, kind of their sports PR guy at this point. He's always at the, you know, All-Star weekends and stuff. And yeah, so I think we could see Miz wrap it up after this year.
That's a solid choice. It's really tough because, like, even a guy like Nakamura, like, you thought maybe he would leave, but he probably re-signed recently or whatever. I don't think it's yet time for Orton to be retiring or be off TV anytime soon. Miz is a good shout. I don't know if he necessarily counts as major, even though he's being put in a major angle right now.
Yeah, he's former world champion. You can call it major.
But if you had to ask me, I do not think Austin Theory is going to be on the roster in 2027. I've viewed this Vision thing as his last shot. I don't know if it's going to work. And at that point, I don't know what you do with him. So I think that he'll end up parting ways with them. I don't know whose decision it'll be. Probably be management's in that case. But that's my guess here, because I don't think that this is going to work for him.
I think that's a interesting take. And I'm not saying interesting is like being shady. I think that that's viable, is that this is kind of make or break for Austin Theory. And very quickly, he's become the job guy of the group. So, you know, that was ultimately kind of what I came up with was, you know, Austin Theory. If we're not looking at contracts, if we're just looking strictly at performance, this is probably the end for him. Other folks who I was like, maybe I would lean more to Bailey being a lifer, but I feel more and more like the possibility of her leaving is, you know, maybe best. You know, I think she would have a tremendous effect on a women's division elsewhere. I'm saying women's division elsewhere, on the AEW women's division. And it might open up spots for other women in WWE. I know that's, you know, it might not be, you know, people would love it, but I could see it. Another person I could see leaving is Rusev. I mentioned Rusev earlier. He's out the Rumble very fucking quickly. Why are you back? What have you done since you've been back besides wrestle Sheamus and lose?
I was going to say, when did he come back? Because I remember he said he signed a two-year. When did he come back? Because he said he signed a two-year deal
He came out. If it wasn't the night after, it was the week after. So
He's probably got another year, and I don't think they're going to re-sign him, or that he's going to want to re-sign for a short term.
I think it's likely that I think he could ask for his release.
Yeah, I can see that. That feels fair.
If we're talking about just possibly being done, Sheamus is somebody that, you know, the more the time passes and injuries, you know, creep up, might be fine with just, you know, calling in the end. I don't think Sheamus is going to get a pomp and circumstance end like AJ or Cena or Brock will, but, you know, I think he could be certain with that.
I believe he's hurt again, too.
Yeah, he is hurt again. He's on the shelf. Finn is a if it doesn't happen now, then when guy. And with that in mind, I think that if it's not going to happen for you soon, go and be in AEW where you know it can. That's
how I've got a Finn prediction.
Go ahead.
He's going to be world champ by the end of the year.
I think he should be. And I think he'll be a face world champion.
Yes. I think he's going to get ousted after he loses to Punk in Chicago. I think he's going to come back, bring back the demon, and go after all the people that, you know, went after him or whatever in Judgment Day. And then I do think that he's going to be world champ by the end. And I say that because every time, and this is something that I like that they do, they're very purposeful with things now. And they've had Finn in these situations, just like the one after where he lost the title match to Punk, where they stuck on him and they stayed on him, and they don't do those things for no reason. So I think he's about to become a big figure on the television show again, because it's another thing of, you know, Triple H always finds a way to give back to his people and his people in NXT that he looked after or whatever and you know, trained and helped develop. And I think this is the case where it's finally come around for Finn to have that opportunity, because they're finally going to be, you know, ending the Judgment Day thing.
Yeah, it's you know, I you listen to that pop, and I know it's Ireland, but like they were so excited to
the
to
old music and everything.
Finn, man.
Yeah, like
it hits differently.
It really does.
Give that opportunity, Mr. H. So yeah, I my guess would have been R-Truth, but it seemed like they're never getting rid of him. He's timeless. let's keep going here. One major star who is in need of a change. That could be a character change, that could be a brand change, that could be a company change. Who is in desperate need of a change?
Well, 6 months ago I would have told you the answer was Bailey, but I don't think that's going to happen. In terms of people who need that's a good one for this era specifically, because it feels like some... You know what? I'm just gonna go with Jay, and then maybe this is me, you know, reacting to how everything is going. But like, you gotta do something if he's gonna be, you know, unsuccessful now and not as great of a singles wrestler, because it does all kind of turn into a meme after a while. You don't want to be a meme wrestler. Rob will tell you that all the time. But I mean, I think it's Jay. I think, and also the fix is simple. Once Jimmy's back, hopefully him and everything with him and Trinity is good. But just go hard line with the tag team thing again. No one's going to complain if the Usos are working the tag division on Raw all year long. So that's what I think. I think it's time to move on from the Jey Uso single stuff and make him a tag team guy again. And again, maybe that's too much of a hot take right now, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's never going to happen because, you know, he's been doing the same thing for so long at this point. But I would exactly. like to see Aleister, no, for, yeah, Jay's a good answer, but I would like to see, I'd like to see Aleister Black do something at least a little bit different. Like, it's just been the same character, same presentation for, you know, since he got to NXT, and I think he was doing it before that too. And I know it's like kind of who he is or whatever, and I don't even know what you would change all that much, but it just, you know, it's kind of similar to the, like, along the lines of what Adam Cole and them fell into, where it's just like it's the same thing. And it just, you know, and especially with Aleister Black, who's done it in two different companies, like even someone like Rusev, he could change it up a little bit because he's basically doing the same thing he did in AEW too. So it's like I would like a little more, you know, ability to change things up if you're going to jump companies like that. Like, and no one does that. Champ is not going to do it either. He's just the same guy. Everyone's just the same guy now. Like, there's just no versatility.
Yeah, I agree. Got a couple of potentials. Johnny Gargano, because, you know, he's now a singles competitor. He's now a singles competitor. He's got to figure out where his lane is. I don't know if the babyface shit's going to work. He's pretty good as a heel, like a little, like, sarcastic little shit.
Can I give you an idea?
Go ahead.
What if Hobbs is his heater?
That's good. Yeah. Kind of like his Mr. Hughes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Hell yeah.
I like that. I mentioned Rusev, and you got to do something different with Rusev. Yeah. My answer is going to be a guy who just returned to WWE, is technically changed. He's not the same guy as he was before, but he feels like the same guy that he was before, and that's Matt Cardona.
Yep, knew it.
Yep.
I agree, too.
I think... And obviously his wife's there, his wife's funny as shit, and like there's a lot of potential there, but like his little interaction with Cody before Cody lost that belt, I did not feel like that was a changed Zack Ryder. It felt like the same old Zack Ryder. And brother, if you're gonna come back to this WWE with so many stars already in it and so many stars on the way up, you got to bring something different than the table than I was the indie god. Or if you want to do that, make me believe it. Because like you want to come back and get the money. And like, that's cool. I get it. But it feels like same old Zack Ryder. So Matt Cardona, I want to see something different from you this season. Now I want you to give me a wrestler who will return to WWE this year.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. Athena.
Is a contract coming up?
It seems like it might. I mean, no one really knows with AEW. No one really knows with any contracts ever. But there's been a lot of rumblings. Like, you know, that's part of why she's not on the main roster at this point. She still has the Ring of Honor belt. So it's like there's some things that are starting to maybe not add up necessarily. And I would have said probably like Chris Statlander, but she's the champion now. Like that's.
It's also technically not a return.
Or is that would just no. That well, I think she knows.
No, she's never.
Was she an extra? The way you're like, oh, Rob Van Dam back in WWE because he had that one match when he was like fucking baby.
No, but I think, and the other thing with Athena too, just not even knowing the contract situation, there's something going on that she's not on the main roster, obviously. And I think WWE would put her on the main roster because you know she's a woman who can wrestle, and they like to have as many women who can wrestle, kind of keep raising the floor of that division. She would do that quite well, I think.
Probably better suited now than her original run.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, she went out and made a name for herself a little bit too. And like the Ring of Honor stuff's been cool. It's been going on for so long that it kind of has lost its luster. But like, as far as just to pick one male performer as well, Jericho, I guess there's not a ton of guys out there. Like I thought Cross would be back, but that's looking less and less likely. I think he overplayed his hand a little bit there.
A little bit.
Just a bit.
But yeah, he would not surprise me, or Jericho, obviously, which I'm kind of surprised we didn't see him yesterday because they would have absolutely known who he was.
Yes.
But yeah.
They must be
What is it?
You don't think they're going to give Gunther and Jericho, do you?
No, because...
Yeah, Jericho's not going to retire, I don't think.
Yeah, no,
I was just thinking about guys he could possibly face, but if Gunther's doing this career thing, then yeah, he can't.
Yeah, because Gunther's not losing to Chris Jericho.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's not losing to Jericho. No, they're not going to do what they did at Mania 32 here, if he did wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel pretty strongly about Athena coming back at some point. She's also been gone long enough, and I mean, Triple H seemed to at least know how to use her in NXT. I know she didn't win the title, you know, when she should have beaten Asuka, but whatever. We don't need to get into that again. But like, you know, I think, and her value's a lot higher now than it was too, and it's a different landscape for the women.
I don't even think it's a value thing. I think really it's another opportunity for her to get exposure on the main roster, because if you really want to get into the nuts and bolts about her main roster run, she didn't exactly get an opportunity.
That's true too.
There was never really an off ramp for her to really do anything to establish herself, because I don't think that the guy in charge had any interest in figuring out who she was or what she wanted to be. Mm-hmm. Now I think you have a situation where everything is way, way more friendly to the women. Their creative, their input. I mean, even you mentioned Alistair, you know, him and Zelina have been doing things, and she's probably going to get, you know, some sort of boost in her presentation because she's going to obviously be running right with Alistair. That's another thing where that's different from now to then. You didn't have anybody who was able to do that. And if there was, it was all pretty basic stuff. I mean, you can look at like Lana, Dolph, and Rusev stuff, or even less so the Becky, Seth, Lacey, and Corbin stuff, which was always awkward and weird, but like it's not so much like that anyway. So I think Athena would be a great addition just because of the amount of freedom that they have now.
Yeah, that's fair.
I struggle with this because like there's not a lot of people who could come back. I don't want to just say Jericho because he's been so named too often for it to be too obvious. I might just pass here. I do side with Rob with Athena being logical. If I knew more about like contract situations, I might be able to answer this better. But that's what I'm gonna say. I'm just gonna pass.
That's also a very good one. You know, there's a couple of that I hope would come back. You know, maybe some folks are on the fringe, and I'm like, I haven't heard from you in a while, and you know, maybe you should just go back to the Federation. But, you know, I'm going to cheat for this one. I think returning to WWE this year will be none other than our X Division champion, Leon Slater. Do you see what I did there? Because, he's technically, you know, wrestling WWE even this year. But now he can just make the official leap because, you know, he's very agile and very mobile, very hostile. And listen, Javon Evans is now in WWE. Yep. NXT can now use a young, exciting, high flyer also from the UK. I think Leon Slater is a lock to be in WWE at some point. I think it'll be sooner rather than later.
Okay. Yeah, so I can see that for sure.
All right. So we will close it up with our men's and women's breakout stars of 2026. Who will they be?
Well, for the men, I think I'm going to go with Trick. I think they're going to push Oba quite a bit as well. Like we talked about, I just think Trick might be a little bit closer to being, you know, fully ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they might just roll with him. For the women, I will go with Roxanne Perez.
You just took my answer for the women, so I have to recalibrate now. The reason that I would have picked Roxanne was because, yeah, she had a great debut year. I think she gelled like only few call-ups I think ever have. It feels like she's been on the roster way longer than just less than a calendar year at this point.
Yeah.
But now that she's got a year under her, I thought, you know, this year she could potentially win like Queen of the Ring and wrestle Liv at SummerSlam for the title. Yeah. She could even win at that point if Liv's going to win the title in April. Mm-hmm. If I'm not going to go with her, I'm just going to go with Sol. I think yesterday was a great indicator of things to come for her. So was beating Bayley at Saturday Night's main event. I think that she'll get the same soft call up that Tiff and Rox both got. So you can probably earmark her for the Chamber match in Chicago, because they've done that with the past two big call ups that they had with Tiff and with Roxanne the last 2 years. So I'm going to go with her. And for the dudes, I want to also lean to Trick, but I'm going to steer away from him. I'm going to go with Javon. I'm going to say that he get, you know, it's hard to really do he does on Raw on a very crowded show, but in terms of breaking out, he's never going to see a bigger audience than he is going to over the next couple of months when he's on Raw. The NXT audience is dwarfed in comparison. He's going to get a lot of notoriety and I think a lot of star power by the end of this year, just out of performance alone, I think he's going to be somebody that people love because of what he does in the ring and really break out this year.
Yeah, both of you fuckers took my answer, so I'm going to have to go in a different direction. I see both of you didn't want to go Obafemi. You want to be contrarians, and that's okay. So I will go Obafemi, and I'll be the smart one at the end of the day. But for the women, you know, Roxanne and Sol are really good answers. But I'm going to go with the one that I think is most likely to win a championship this year, and that's Jordynne Grace. I think if you paid attention to her recently on SmackDown, socials, she's killing it. She is. I think she is very I could see them like seeing dollar signs and strapping a rocket, because like she's built from a mold of a China, a Beth Phoenix, a strong, powerful woman, and you know, also look damn good too, so you can, you know, market the fuck out of that. And I think she has a lot of girls in WWE right now, at least especially on the SmackDown side, that she can go up toe to toe and really show her worth. You know, we're gonna see her with Jade at some point. You know, we should see her in Nia, and I'm shocked that Kiana was the one that got that spot, or maybe Jordynne Grace got that spot last year. Where
pick
Nia up spot. Yeah, that sounds about right that she would have gotten in last year. But, you know, we're going to see her test her mind against bigger girls like a Nia, like a Lash. You know, that's, you know, another candidate for a breakout star.
Yeah, Lash is definitely.
Absolutely.
She's done a shit 2 years in a row. And, you know, clearly, you know, there's tag team potential there that she can kind of like continue to ease her way into the hearts and minds of the universe. But I think Jordynne Grace is there. I think that she's got a quicker trajectory than most other girls.
Good call.
So I'm gonna go with Jordynne Grace. Anything else as we wrap up this nearly too long reunion show?
This is like no, I don't think
Housewives
so.
Housewives of Chicago. All right. We'll be back soon. As we continue down the road to WrestleMania, Elimination Chamber is February 28th, right?
Yes.
March 1st, February 28th in Chicago, so end of the month. And then you got WrestleMania in 2.5 months, so I'm going to keep it going, man. Follow the Barber's Chair for all of it. At 79th and Hollis, man, if you were not watching football this year, it was a pretty big year for the Bears, which means ain't going to be talking about drafts. You ain't going to be talking about none of the usual shit that you hear in the offseason. We're going to be looking ahead to a team that is potentially looking to make a run for a Super Bowl title. That means free agency. That means trading. That means building within House Hall. And say nothing, House, Scott and Joe, they're going to follow it all. So be on the lookout for more from them. First Black Champ goes on YouTube and they're doing their thing. Scott, goddamn it. It's like I'm doing fucking with Ball Don't Lie again. Rob, you got Late Night Grin stuff. You guys are doing great work over there, so go follow, go support. And then, yeah, I ain't got nothing else, man. Just stay happy, stay healthy, stay warm, because it's brick outside and that ain't no cap. Don't do anything dumb that I wouldn't do, or do stuff I would do. Who knows? This has been Ruthless Aggression. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the graps. For Rob and Chris, I'm Pierce. We'll see you later.